Amen.
Let's take our Bibles this evening. Turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. We're going to begin reading with verse number 1. Excuse me. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me is indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him," excuse me, "and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." In this particular passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, of course, is dealing with a lot of things, but he's talking about how our strength is in our flesh, isn't in our ability, our wisdom, our strength. That's nothing, we don't have anything that's going to last in and of ourselves. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say, now if that was the case, if it was based on our ability, then I would be in good shape. Got to do it in God's.
once were doing something for God, and because of their life they're now living, they've become the enemies of the cross of Christ. What an accusation for a Christian. Can you imagine you a year from now living in such a way that you would be considered an enemy to the cross of Christ? You'd say, oh, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. You know, I'm sure that the people that are out of church, and me and Miss Joellen was just talking a little bit about this kind of thing before the service. You know, it starts out with a little thing. You say, well, I'll miss here, I'll miss there, or I'll put some other priority above church or above God, above His Word. You think that's not a big deal, it's just a one-time thing, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity or something like that. And then the next thing you know, you turn around and you're hardly ever doing anything for God. You don't come to church, you don't read your Bible, you're beginning to listen to the wrong things, watch the wrong things, you're beginning to accept things that you once stood against. Now, you would never say, I'm going to end up over here being counted an enemy to the cross of Christ when you're over here trying to live for God. But when we let our guard down, when we began to think that we're okay in our strength and our wisdom, and we've got confidence in the flesh, then we let that guard down. And if we don't watch it, we'll end up over there. And the Bible says here in verse number 18, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And tonight I want us to take a few moments and I want us to think about that thought. Enemies of the cross. And we're going to look at those four descriptions that the Bible gives according to the Scriptures. And let's be honest with the Holy Spirit of God tonight. And if we see something in our life, let's identify it, let's deal with God, and let's keep ourselves from getting over here and being marked down as an enemy of the cross. Dear Jesus, again, we ask you to meet with us. Lord, we pray for Miss Gertrude right now. I give the doctors wisdom. Lord, just comfort her. Help her to know that her church loves her and is praying for her. And we just pray that Lord, we know it's all in your hands, and no matter what happens, we know you know what's best. But Lord, we ask for your mercy. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The enemies of the cross. The first thing identified is the Bible says, whose end is destruction. Whose end is destruction. Take your Bibles and look in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the righteousness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Some of us were talking before the service about the rapture a little bit, and I'm glad that we don't have to go through the tribulation, we don't have to deal with some of these things. But you want to know what the sad thing is, a sad commentary in the life of many Christians? A sad commentary in the life of many Christians will be, is they could be numbered with the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, because of the way they live. I mean, when God judges and that wicked one is destroyed, and God's going to utterly destroy him, When the devil is finally faced with his judgment and is eternally cast in that lake of fire, we could all say he gets his just rewards. He's earned that spot. No mistake about it. But I wonder. Do you remember how you felt the first time on the news you heard when the war over in the Middle East was new and just beginning to liberate Iraq and different things over there? And you hear of that American soldier who throws a grenade into a group of officers trying to kill other Americans because he was a Muslim. Now, I don't know how that made you feel. I felt angry. I felt betrayed. Just a lot of emotions. It bothered me. How could someone wear that uniform, know the price that people paid for us to have this freedom, this liberty, do something like that? You think of a traitor. You know, and I know you have to have justice and you have to have fair trials because sometimes people are falsely accused, but when it comes to things like that, I'm one of those proponents for, you know, let's have a good old-fashioned lynching somewhere. Just go ahead and save the taxpayers the money and all that. Now, I'm not promoting that. I'm saying that's how I feel. I'm not saying that's right and we should do it. Have to clarify that because, you know, people could run with that. But it made me sick to my stomach. It bothered me. It really did. I probably shouldn't have let it bother me as much as I did, but it really bothered me. Then you think about that in light with Christ and all He's done for us. And we get so consumed with our lives, so consumed with our abilities, our strength, our this, our that, and we don't live our life for the glory of God. Then we deserve to be numbered and marked with that wicked one. Now, thank God for His grace and mercy, that's not going to happen. But how would you like to look in the eyes of Christ and have Him know that you are an enemy of His cross? In His great mercy and love, His love, His salvation is everlasting. You can never lose it. But we sure can bring a disgrace to it. Take your Bibles and look in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter number 2. Beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as they shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they be feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not." How many times have you heard of a church being split because somebody wants to have their way? Not the Holy Spirit, God has nothing to do with it. It's I want my, whether it's the preacher or somebody else, I want my way. I want my way. And if I can't get my way, or if I don't have a puppet in the pulpit that I can control and get what I want, then I'm going to work behind the scenes and I'm going to try to stir things up and I'm going to try to teach different things and I'm going to try to gather people to me, try to get them away from the Bible and see what I can do for myself. Have me as the focus. I'm going to tell you, I've seen it. Firsthand. And thank God I haven't seen it here, but I'm not so foolish as to believe that it may not be happening right now. I mean, I don't know of anything, so don't. I mean, I can see look on some people's faces or something going on. Nothing that I know of. okay? Just pray that it doesn't happen. If it does happen, pray that there's some men and women that have enough guts, as Brother Rodney was talking about this morning, to just go ahead and deal with it. Just tell them, you need to shut your mouth and go on down the road if that's the way you're going to be. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil's alive. He's working. And he doesn't want the truth to be propagated. He doesn't want somebody to go out in this city and try to reach the children, try to reach the parents. He doesn't want the gospel being preached. He doesn't want somebody that's going to stand on that book. And he's going to work his way in. And the sad thing is, many times we as Christians, when we let our guard down, we become a tool in the hand of the devil instead of a tool in the hand of the Savior, whose end is destruction. The Bible goes on to say, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, or verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Take your Bibles and look in Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, beginning with verse number 19. And of course, we're picking it up in the middle of this parable, and it's a familiar parable, the rich fool. I would encourage you to read it in the context later, but Luke 12, beginning with verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich towards God. And he saith unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You know, one of the toughest things, I don't know that's the toughest thing, but it's a tough thing that bothers me as a Christian, as a pastor, is to see what could be accomplished, what really could be done, if God's people would really get their hearts into it. Because when our hearts get into things, our time, our effort, our energy, our labor, our spirit, our wisdom, our input, our work, our bank accounts, our pocketbooks, all that gets involved too when our heart is. When our heart is. Now, I don't know, you may not believe me. I'd rather have to struggle every week financially as a church from now till Jesus comes than to have a bunch of rich people that are putting a bunch of money in the plate but their heart's far from God. I'd rather have the spirit right. But I believe if the Spirit's right in people's lives, then we'll be able to accomplish everything that God puts on our hearts. Because God doesn't order something that He doesn't pay for. You ever heard that expression? It's true. And He chooses to use us to do it. That's His method. He blesses you, He blesses me, so that we can be used to invest in eternity through the ministries of the local church. That's God's plan, that's God's method. In the next week or so, we're going to have somebody coming out looking at the property in the back and finding out the regulations and the policies and all that kind of thing about getting a gymnasium built, possibly something with some classrooms in it and things like that, get a price on it so we could start having something to work towards. It's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. It's going to take a lot of effort. But it's something that needs to be done, something that can be done. Can be done. Again, if our heart's right. The Bible says here that the ones that are counted as the enemies of the cross are those that are concerned with their belly. They're concerned with satisfying their self. They're concerned with, it's my life, I'm the center of my world, instead of realizing and understand that everything that God puts in my hand, He has a design and purpose for it. He has a design and purpose for it. Man, there's nothing wrong with God's people having things. You know, I've heard preachers, I'm sure you've heard preachers, if you've got anything nice, you ought to sell it and give that to the church. I don't believe that. I think you ought to do what God wants you to do. And if God chooses to bless you with things, that's a wonderful thing. That's a great testimony to a world out there to realize that God can bless His people if they're faithful. But everything that we get, we ought to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? If you say this is something for my family or something that you know there's something that I've just wanted and you're giving me some extra special blessing, great and wonderful. But if God says, I've given you this to invest over here and you do this with it, that's a scary step. A slippery road. Enemies of the cross, whose God is their belly, I want to satisfy me. Take your Bibles and look over in Luke chapter 16. This is one of those passages of Scripture, again, that's a very familiar passage of Scripture. But talk about an eye-opener to this whole mindset. The Bible says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So you have this man of great wealth and this man of great poverty. And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You know, God's not impressed with our things, our possessions. God's not impressed with any empire that we can build for ourselves. It doesn't impress Him. How are you going to impress a God that spoke everything into existence with taking something that He created and doing something? How are you going to impress God with that? It's not going to happen. You want to know how you impress God? Because of the free will He's given us, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? I don't want my life to be lived for me. I don't want my life to be lived for my family. I don't want my life to be lived for my friends. I want my life to be lived for you. If we'll live our life for the Lord, if we'll do that, then we'll be the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife, the right kind of dad, the right kind of mom. We'll be the right kind of friend. We'll be the right kind of church. It's all progression, but it's got to start there. Look over in the book of Romans, chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. We're going to look at verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Again, when we get the idea that we're important and we need to be heard and our way needs to be this and our way needs to be that, and we forget God, we start thinking of self. The Bible says we become the enemies of the cross. The enemies of the cross. Back over in Philippians. The Bible says, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We're going to stop right there as far as the message goes this evening. I know there's a lot of things on people's hearts, a lot of things that people are struggling with, a lot of physical things, some people struggling with things financially, some are in the midst of very deep, heated spiritual battles right now. We've got to make a decision as a church. And it's got to be made in the hearts of the individual members that we want to do what God wants us to do, that we're going to follow the Lord, that God being our helper will never live in such a way that we can be counted as the enemies of the cross of Christ. Can you imagine that? You hear story after story, week after week, you hear of new accounts of this preacher messing up, this preacher messing up, whether it be with sexual things or whether it be with money and stealing money from the church and different things like that. You hear of churches that are changing, dropping their guard, letting the world in, changing the book they're preaching. Preachers afraid to name sin, sin, because someone may get offended and, you know, run somewhere and try to levy a charge of a hate crime on them because they said something that hurt their feelings in a message. We can't be that way. We can't if we've been bought by Christ. My preacher for many years had a saying, and it's so true if we get a hold of it. If we've been bought by the blood of Jesus, then don't be for sale. If you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, then don't be for sale. It's hard for me to imagine, and I know it's just the grace of God that it's not me. And if I ever lose sight of that, it will be me. It's just hard for me to imagine how people that will stand in a pulpit and preach the holy word of God can live some of these wicked lifestyles. And sometimes it seems like they get away with it. They get away with it. And then you think about somebody like Miss Gertrude. Through her illness, I've gotten to know her better and gotten closer with her. And now I regret not doing it sooner. You know, every time that dear lady comes to church, she's in physical pain. Very strenuous physical pain just to get over here and walk in and sit down. It physically hurts her. But she wants to be in her place. She wants to be in her place. And we get a headache or somebody hurts our feelings or this didn't go our way or this didn't go that way. Or we let the most stupid, idiotic, insignificant things knock us off course. My plea to you tonight is simply this. Let's just be real. I've seen the politics of church. I've seen the politics of preachers. And, you know, the first thing when you meet a preacher or something, the first thing he wants to ask you is, what are you running in church? You know, that's the benchmark. If you're running more than me, then I'll listen to you. If you're not, then you've got to listen to me. That's not what it's about. Sometimes we get thinking that way. Well, God's hand is not on our church because we're not growing like I think we should. That's not the measuring stick. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Now, you shall reap in due season. That's up to God. If you faint not, if you stay faithful. If you stay faithful. I look around and I see people, some of you right now, you're in pain sitting here. Some of you right now, some of the stuff you're dealing with at home. Don't lower your guard. Stay faithful. God will get you through it. He will. I know some of you are, you're thinking right now, I don't see how, I don't see any hope, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. if you stay faithful, He'll get you through it. But as a church, we need to, in the privacy of our hearts, deal with God and say, God, I want to be the Christian You saved me to be. I want to have the church You saved me to be. You need to pray for me every day to be the pastor God wants me to be. Not the pastor You want me to be. Not the pastor I want me to be. But the pastor God wants me to be. And we need to purpose and determine that we will not be numbered among the enemies of the cross of Christ. And we're going to live our life for Him. We're going to glorify Him. We're going to put all of our energy, all of our effort, and when we've poured ourselves into it, we're going to say, God, we've done all we can. We need You to pick up the slack. You know what you're going to find? He'll do it every time. He'll do it every time. But the problem is, we want to sit back and say, God, do great things. Do wonderful things, and I'll say amen when it happens. But don't ask me to do it. Don't ask me to get out on the front lines. Don't ask me to step out there, stick my chin out there where someone may take a swipe at it. I'll be excited about it and I'll encourage other people. Go get it done. But I don't want to be the one out there. Then you're living for yourself. You say, yeah, but I'm encouraging other people. God uses us in spite of ourselves. I mean, God used wicked kings all throughout the Bible to get His purposes done. I don't want to be in spite of myself a Christian. I want to be out there with God on the front lines, seeing God do great things. Not great according to my measurement, great according to His measurement. Pleasing God. You know, I don't even know if I know how to say what I'm trying to say. Let's just be real. Forget the facades. Forget trying to make sure we look the part and talk the part. Let's be the part. Let's be the Christians He saved us to be. The next generation needs that example. But you want to know something that's even more important than that? We owe it to God. We owe it to God. He deserves our best. Let's be that kind of a Christian. I'm going to ask if you'd stand. We're not going to have an invitation tonight.